Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, engineering today's show, and we hope everything goes well for you this week on The Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, December the 15th, 2014, coming off a great weekend. We are live here each weekday, 12.04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Also, we've got our podcasts and the complete show archive, so you can listen to our program 24/7 anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. During the noon hour, we will start with our Monday political face-off. With me in studio, commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom, followed at 12:30 today, the Oro Valley Mayor Satish Hiremath will talk about the controversial plan to purchase a country club golf course in Oro Valley. And then we will close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. The Buckmaster Show live line now declared officially open, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and every Monday we do start things off with the political face-off. Bruce Ash is here. Mr. Ash, in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Ackerstrom has been involved with Democrat politics for a long time. He is the former state and local Democrat Party chairman here in Pima County. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. 75% off right now during Moe's first ever inventory sale. Paul and Bruce, how was the weekend for both of you?
Wet and dandy.
Yeah, very nice.
Very wet, yes. I watched my daughter play soccer in a very wet, rainy day.
Oh, really? You had an umbrella out there? And
yeah, I got wet, though.
Yeah. We did get some nice rain, certainly needed it, and the Republican Party had the local election for leadership. Bruce Ash, Bill Beard is the new chair of the Pima County Republicans. Good choice?
Very good choice. A good man, period. Well-liked by Republican colleagues. I serve with him in Legislative District Number 9 as a precinct committeeman. He's been very active since the late 2008 or 9 when he wasn't able to vote in an Amphi District bond election or school board election, I can't remember which, and a regular friend of the Wake Up Tucson show in the mornings.
Yeah, he's on Wake Up Tucson a lot.
I can't remember if he's Bill number one or Bill number two. But
He's number one. Ed
number one.
Us, yes.
Oh, he's now number one at the Pima GOP. So he'll be working hard as the new chairman, and we have to keep up with those Democrats who run everything here in Pima County. So, we got our work cut out for us. But Bill's a good guy, well-liked by everybody, and I'm sure he's going to do an excellent job. I've offered him a lot of help myself coming up.
He does have an uphill job, Paul.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a Democratic county. I think there's about a 6% registration advantage for Democrats. But there's a lot of independents, and they swing both ways. They kind of tend to vote a little bit more Democratic, but you got to convince them. So, every race locally is always still a challenge for the Democrats because it's not that big of an advantage that we have.
And will he have? He'll have to kind of mend fences with the Tea Party faction and the moderate faction.
Yeah, when I was chair of the county party for the Democrats, I always said it's like herding cats, and obviously, that's a bigger challenge when there's factions that really kind of develop. And it's happened in the Democratic Party in the past. And I think that's what's going on in the Republican Party, both nationally and locally. And so, and everything I've heard about him, he seems like a decent guy. Bruce vouches for him as a really good guy. And hopefully he can do that. I think it's always better to have consensus in both parties and then then it's a clearer message is coming out from both parties and voters have a clearer choice. The Democrats are probably going to have a different person this time as well come January 10th. I know Don Jorgensen isn't going to run again, at least the last I heard.
Oh, really? Who are the candidates? Do you have any idea?
Well, I think Cheryl Cage may very well step up and do
it. Yes, I've heard that name.
I haven't heard anybody else that's really wanting to do it at this point. And so Cheryl may be it. And Cheryl ran Randy Freese's campaign, right. And she ran for state senate herself a couple of times up in the northwest part of town.
Did pretty well, as I recall.
Yeah,
too.
She's good at fundraising, and that's always important for a party chairman.
Democrats do have lots of ideological rifts within their political movement. It's good to have that friction within a political party. It's not a monolith. There ought to be different thoughts. Nationally, though, the Democrats, I think, are really facing some challenges because it looks as though the far leftist part of that party, the Elizabeth Warren followers, are really trying to get an early jump on the 2016 presidential contest. And it'll be interesting to see what happens between Senator Warren and Hillary Clinton. There's not a long and strong bench for the Democratic Party on a national basis.
Well, you know, former Senator Webb, who used to be Ronald Reagan's Secretary of Navy and then became a senator from Virginia, he's always considered a very conservative kind of guy, more conservative Democrat. But he's talking about running, and you know his platform is on the economic issues, economic justice, similar to Elizabeth Warren's, and he's thinking about running as well. So I have a feeling that there may be a developing consensus within the party that's the issues that really we should be talking about. And believe me, they may challenge Hillary Clinton, but Hillary's going to be the nominee. But Hillary may very well adopt some of that message, which I think is important for the party, to get back to basics where everybody should be involved in our economy and have a fair chance. And if the Democrats get to that message, we're going to be fine, especially if Hillary is adopting those positions, which I think she's going to. I've heard her talk a little bit about it herself already. So I think that's where we're headed. And if Hillary is doing that, she's going to be the nominee.
You're convinced of it.
Yeah, I'm convinced of it.
Bruce, are you convinced?
No, and in fact, for the sake of the Democratic Party, I hope that it is not a snowball that gains strength rolling down the hill. There has been one voice within the Democratic Party over the past 6 years, really longer than that if you count back during the presidential campaign, and that's not necessarily been a good thing for the Democratic Party. There have to be many voices within a political movement. It's a movement. It's not a monolith.
Well, and I think you're hearing those voices, and I think Hillary is obviously in the strongest position based on her previous run to be the first woman president. And I have a feeling that she's going to be adopting a lot of those positions that people are characterizing as coming from the left. But really, it's not left-wing politics. It's more mainstream politics in terms of—
From your standpoint.
The Democratic message has always been we're for the middle class and for working folks, and we need fairness in our system instead of heavily concentrated wealth at the very top, which is never good for a capitalist system because eventually that doesn't work.
And we need
a large middle class to be those consumers in a consumer-driven economy to keep the economy healthy.
And Paul, you say that, but the policies of this presidency have been onerous on the middle class.
And I disagree
And on poor working Americans, and particularly for minorities here in this country.
When you get down to
means and methods, the Democratic Party has fallen far short of their goal of being for the common man.
Well, I do not think the Republican Party is for the common man, and the Democrats may have strayed from their core principles from Franklin Roosevelt's era and the New Deal, and maybe that's the problem. But if you think the Republicans are for the common man, you better think twice, because they're the ones that put a rider on this budget bill to deregulate the banks again so the banks can concentrate all that wealth, do very risky things like they did prior to 2008, which got us into this horrible economic situation that we are just climbing out of. And now because and I'm frankly upset at the president for going along with it.
Yeah, I know you're not happy at all with the spending bill that was passed over the weekend.
To allow the banks to do that, to get deregulation, which was watered down in the first place. It wasn't strong enough. But now it's gone away again because the Republicans throw a rider onto the budget balance, the budget extension bill, really, really is dangerous ground for our future economy. If we want to repeat what happened in 2008, we just created the situation for it. And I think that was a horrible thing that happened. And I think the president made a huge mistake not fighting that and making sure that rider was taken off before he agreed to go along with the bill.
Bruce?
Paul, you're wrong again.
Always wrong again, huh?
Paul is wrong again, and you've been wrong on banking regulation for about as long as I can remember. Dodd-Frank is probably one of the most difficult impositions of government overreach that's ever been put on the financial services industry. Let's just take here in Arizona as a for example. It has become increasingly hard for people in rural and suburban areas to get loans. It has become almost impossible for people both on the high income side as well as on the low income side to get loans. And it didn't take a cromnibus bill like was what was passed over the weekend to create some rather dodgy practices within the banking business. We've seen a growing tendency of appraisals to be somewhat questionable on home loans. We've seen credit criteria and borrower standards diminished over the past 6 years. We're headed back toward those problems that you've alluded to, and unfortunately, you've blamed the Republicans, Paul, but it's been under this Department of the Treasury, and it's been under this Democrat administration where all of these awful things have been going on.
Let me make one thing clear. Who did the banking industry give the most money to in these congressional races? By far, the Republicans.
And you're wrong.
Therefore,
you're wrong. You're either uninformed or you're intentionally lying. There is no way that your information is correct.
Well, all I know is, even if it's true that what Bruce is saying, we need our banking system regulated properly so that whatever happened in 2008 never happens again. When banks can sell mortgages and create securities based on those mortgages and give it to somebody else to hold the bag, then they have no incentive to make sure that those mortgages are secure. And so they go out there and they play games with appraisals. They play games with giving mortgages to people who really can't afford it, bigger mortgages than they can afford. And as a result, they're not left holding the bag when they sell those mortgages to somebody else. And that's what got us into trouble in the first place. We should not be deregulating that. We should make sure that we have regulations on that.
We're not deregulating.
We are way past our break. Let's take the break here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom will stick around for another segment. We'll be right back on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call Five Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
Five Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and anytime in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
La da 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 da.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push on now toward Christmas. And Bruce Ash, I believe Hanukkah begins tomorrow. Is
tomorrow
that
night?
Tomorrow
right.
night. So we've
first
got
night of Hanukkah. Be lighting candles on that evening, and the next day, Chabad of Tucson has a great Cirque de Hanukkah celebration at Castle Hill Elementary, lighting the candles there at 5:30. Anybody who'd like to come, that's a great event.
Very cool. So we are pushing on here with the holiday season. Paul Eckerstrom is here, and Bruce Ash. It's our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bruce, will things be different now with the Republicans in the majority now when we come up with our spending bill for the next fiscal year?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest change from the last 6 years to what hopefully will occur. And it's part of the reason that Republicans sort of swallowed and did the cromnibus the way it finally was done. With Republicans taking over leadership in the U.S. Senate, as well as having, you know, the origination of budgets coming from the House side, we're now going to have budget hearings, which we haven't had in 6 years. We're now going to have debate on a budget on the floor of the U.S. Senate, which we haven't had in 6 years. We're now going to have a regular budget process where all 8 of the appropriations will all be presented, will all go through the steps and the processes for the White House to review and to hopefully to approve. You know, one of the other very interesting outcomes that hardly anybody's talking about with the Cromnibus, it marks the 3rd year in a row that the U.S. Congress has passed lower discretionary spending in the budget. The discretionary budget is down about another 5%. It's down almost 11% over the past 3 years. That hasn't happened in probably 3 or 4 decades. So, you know, we all love to criticize what somebody else has done, and I've certainly done my fair share of it as well. But anytime you have a bill as unpopular as the Cromnibus has become over the past couple of weeks, for both parties, leaders in both political parties, maybe they did do something right. And with the change in leadership, I hope we'll be back to a regular, orderly budget process. We have to be.
You know, that the bill itself, in terms of the budget stuff, it was just an extension. And yeah, there's less spending. And yeah, I'll say, you know, since 2009, when we were in the depth of the Great Recession, we have half the deficits now that we had before. It's been cut in half. And so something's going right in terms of that. And so whenever anybody criticizes Barack Obama as being this wild spender, it's just not true. And the other thing I didn't like about the bill, and it was another rider the Republicans put on, was it just gave a bigger megaphone for rich people in the political process. Right now it's about $32,000 a year a person can contribute to all federal races. And now they made it now $320,000 a year. It went up tenfold. And so it just tells you more and more our political system is being controlled by people who have the money in this country. And that's a problem for our democracy. I don't like the trend, whether it's dark money, whether it's where a person can give more money because they have more money. They get a bigger megaphone in their right to voice their opinion than some guy who's got a minimum wage job. I just don't think it's right.
So Paul, what is it? Are you for dark money or are you for for public disclosure on spending? And why would it make a difference if somebody has the means to give more money and to express their First Amendment rights? Why is it that you and your party wants to limit that?
You know why? Because, Bruce, everybody should have an equal
sure
voice
they
in
should.
Our democracy.
And everybody does.
Not some guy who's a billionaire being able to buy a campaign or get his message out better than
you think
the guy with a $9 an hour job. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not good for
everything
democracy.
Everything with you is fair and feelings,
well,
Paul.
Well, it isn't fair.
It's the Constitution. It's the Constitution. And the Constitution doesn't put limits on one's free speech because of how much they earn. Now, and let's just talk about
it. Obviously does, because if somebody's rich, they get a bigger voice than somebody who's not rich. That's clear in your book on how you read the Constitution.
Paul,
I read it much differently.
Paul doesn't believe it's fair, Bruce.
Paul, let's talk about in practical reality what happens. Let's take two organizations that typically give to, you know, Democrat or liberal leaning groups, NAACP, okay? And let's look at the Audubon Society. Do you think that those guys make most of their money, you know, from fundraising, from the guys who give them $10 million a year? No. It's all of the Mrs. Ashes or the Mr. Eckerstroms or the Mr. Buckmasters who give $5 a month or $10 a year or $2 a quarter. That's where the majority of their money comes from. And, Paul, the point I'm trying to make is one man's dollar aggregated with a lot of other people who feel the same way is every bit as big, if not bigger, than one guy who gives $1 million.
Well, we went through this in our history at the turn of the last century, where J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller and Carnegie, they owned Congress. They owned it. And then there was a backlash of people in the progressive movement that said, enough. And we started getting people voting against their interests and against the big trust interests. I understand that, and we may need that again. But it's not fair that J.P. Morgan's of the world
now,
or the Bill Gates of the world have a bigger megaphone in the political process. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not good for democracy.
Yeah, and for every Bill Gates, there's 100 different special interest groups who are before Congress on a daily basis, muscling them and getting legislation passed.
Like right. The Bankers Association.
Let's see if we can work in Ingrid. Ingrid would like to join us here in the final minute of our political face-off. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Just a quick remark.
Sure.
Does the Constitution limit our freedom of expression to only a certain amount of what we can say about any particular subject? Are we going to be rationed? Is that what's being
attempted
here?
That's what Paul suggests.
Well, no. I mean, I think we should have limits on what people can give to candidates.
Your
party just raised it tenfold. Tenfold.
Not my party. That bill was voted on by both parties.
It was a Republican writer that was attached to it.
And agreed by both parties.
And right. let me put it this way.
Final second.
If the founding fathers intended this, you know, campaigns didn't used to be this expensive. When TV came in, it got very expensive. So that made it much easier for very, very wealthy people to control the process. And I think there should be limits to that, and I think that's what our Constitution really should require.
And now, thankfully, the Supreme Court has ruled consistently against it.
I disagree with the
Supreme
Court.
Because they actually know what the founding fathers were thinking.
And we are out of time. Bruce Ash, thanks for coming by today.
Pleasure.
And Paul Eckerstrom, thanks
a lot.
Merry
Christmas, Paul.
Thanks. And I hope both of you have a great, great holiday season. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Remember, their 75% up to 75% off inventory sale continues. Great place to pick up a gift for the holidays over at Moe's. We'll be right back. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
So what's going on here?
Oh, that's George Bailey, a man who can't find a decent mechanic. Take a look.
Mr. Potter, I'm really stuck here. Well, what's this going to cost me?
Well, look at you, George, a miserable little clerk coming in here begging on your knees, expecting a good deal. Well, as the owner of Potter's Automotive, you need new brakes, a new drive shaft, new motor mounts, and a timing belt. You know, George, your car's worth more dead than alive.
Oh, that's fine, George. Run. Hey, you won't find a better mechanic in this town, George.
And who are you?
I'm your guardian angel. Take your car to Perfection Auto Works.
Look, Daddy. Teacher says every time a bell rings, someone gets their car fixed right at Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, you're right, Zuzu. Merry Christmas, everybody! Merry Christmas!
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. A Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a wonderful New Year.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is exactly 12:36 on the Buckmaster Show. In this really the last full week before Christmas, as Christmas pushes up on us now very quickly, if you're looking for a auto mechanic, hey, nothing is worse than having auto trouble, right? I mean, if you're looking for a good mechanic to take care of all of your foreign and domestic car needs, may I recommend Perfection Auto Works, Mike Emery and the team, Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Check them out, perfectionautoworks.com. I give them my highest recommendation. Well, the town council in Oro Valley has a very important decision coming up on Wednesday night to decide whether or not to spend $1 million to buy the El Conquistador's 2 18-hole and 1 9-hole golf courses, as well as the country club building. And let's join now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Dr. Satish Hiremath, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. Mayor, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. I think this may be the most important, or seems to be getting the most publicity of anything you've done over there in Oro Valley in a long time. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would. You know, and matter of fact, more so to the latter than the former. You know, we've had other pressing issues like balancing a budget and the Aquatic Center and the Narana Park site and acquisition of Tohono O'Toole, et cetera, et cetera. But this seems to be getting a lot of media play for some reason.
Is the main interest, would you say, the country club building?
It is. And you know what, Bill, let me just give you some quick background.
Okay.
You know, in June, I was, in the summer months, I was given direction by the council to go see if we can acquire the country club and possibly the amenities. So there was an initial group that was working with MetLife to sell the Hilton. I brought some with the subject. They said that, well, let us get through our due diligence, and if so, then yeah, we'll entertain the thought. So they got halfway through the process. We started talking, and the deal fell through. And so we ended up talking with MetLife directly, and they wanted to sell it to us for market value at the time, which was valued about $2.5 to $3 million. And then Bert Lopez with HSL Properties came in more recently, and I said, we were under discussions with this. We want the country club because we don't have a community recreation center. Would you entertain that thought and do what the original group did? And they said, sure, you know, let us get through the process. Well, they got through the process, and what happened is we were able to work out a deal for $1 million over a 3-year payment plan. We're looking at acquiring, to your point, the 45 holes, the 31 tennis courts, the pools, as well as both facilities, the over 30,000 square foot building at La Cholla, or La Cañada and Naranja, basically, as well as the clubhouse and the tennis house over at the other side. So it was I who approached the town, or the Bert Lopez and the prior groups, not the other way around. So that's some history there that I don't think people really realize.
All right. So to pay for this, the council would have to impose a new half-cent sales tax. Is there any other way to handle it, or is that about it?
No, as a matter of fact, the revenue source that we have slated for discussion, there's property tax, there's commercial lease tax, renter's tax, the other form is going to be utility tax, and also a sales tax. And I'm a huge advocate of a sales tax, Bill, only because the other taxes I just listed, they have to be borne or shouldered 100% in its entirety by Oro Valley residents. Mm-hmm. The sales tax, however, right now, 30 cents of every dollar of our general fund comes from an outsider. So it's not a true dollar for dollar. And so to me, under my leadership and my vision that I have, and hopefully the rest of the council agrees to it, is to lessen the cost of our burden and increase the tourism aspect and create us as an end destination in order to get that 30 cents on the dollar now up to 40, 49, 50 cents on the dollar. So we as residents have to pay less, but yet we get the same amenities.
All right. Lots of people want to talk about this. Let's see if we can work in some of these calls. Jerry is up first with Mayor Satish Hiremath. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, Mayor and Buckmeister. Several things. Number one, I had heard that Hiremath was not going to allow the people of Oro Valley to speak at the town meeting. That was one of the things I'd heard.
That is incorrect.
Okay. The other thing was the Ritz-Carlton sold their golf course for $1, and yet you want to spend $1 million on this one.
Well, and I'll tell you, Jerry, thanks for bringing that up. You know, technically they sold it to $1, but I spoke with David Meal at length yesterday, who sold the course for $1, and he told me it's a very complex issue. As a matter of fact, part of that agreement was having receivables still collected now forwarded as part of that agreement. And that's about all I'm allowed to say. So while
he's not the only hotel. There's another one that did the same thing for $1.
Well, you know, and again, I can't answer that, but what's been in print, Jerry, has been the Ritz-Carlton specifically. And although, again, it was technically sold for $1, it was a much larger convoluted package. And
okay.
And they don't want that privy.
And the last thing is with Humberto Lopez, the one who totally destroys the hotels around this town for years, why you would even want to be involved with him?
And again, to that point, Jerry, I don't have anything to do with the hotel. My interest is solely the acquisition of the country club.
Okay. Let's see if we can get through some of these other calls. Roger, you're up next. Roger, you're with the mayor. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mayor, as the business owner, you increase sales tax, you kill local business. Just letting you know that right now. Online sales do not pay the sales tax, and the difference between enough and too many for a lot of people is, one, when they go to the internet, they avoid buying it locally altogether. Another thing, if it was a good idea, a good investment, private investors are looking for good places to put their money right now with the shakeup of the market. So that's obviously a horrible investment. And you shouldn't be investing, building bigger government at the cost of private sector.
Well,
an increase in taxes kills them.
Okay, Roger, thank you.
Well, I appreciate the... And, you know, I don't try to second-guess what the private investment world thinks is a good deal or not a good deal. To your first point about the sales tax, I broached the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce, and they wholeheartedly support, as you may have or may not have seen in the Arizona Daily Star, the acquisition in addition to the 0.5% sales tax increase. So I have the support of the business community here because they know in the long run that it's going to benefit them more by bringing more retailers to their stores via tourism and spend that money locally and shop locally rather than going online. So I hear you loud and clear, and that's another reason why I wanted to venture down this road.
Okay, and you're right, Mayor. The Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors did vote Friday in support of the plan. Let's work in Doug Martin, the owner of this radio station, with the mayor, Mayor Hiermath. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, Mayor. Good to hear you on the show. And I'm also a resident of Oro Valley, and I have some concerns. These folks covered some of those things, but I would like to know what you think about, should government get involved in things like hotels? Like in Phoenix right now, they're trying to get rid of the hotel that they're saddled with after $25 million of deficits. And my feeling is that this is going to be one of those things that you're going to see increasing deficits because of it. Do you think it's a good idea for the town of Oro Valley to get involved in something that's basically a commercial venture?
No. As a matter of fact, it has been broached by a couple of our council members. Well, if we're going to go down this road, why not bite the bullet and actually buy the hotel? And I am unwilling to do a capital investment of $15 million for the hotel plus another PIP project, which is renovating the hotel to fly the Hilton flag for another $20 million and bond for $35 million. Now, the acquisition of the Country Club, Doug, is different because, you know, we have over 800 property owners that are visually going to be affected. The town, i.e., me and 85% of the residents who were surveyed, either somewhat or overwhelmingly wanted a community/recreation center. So from my standpoint, my only interest is in the Country Club. Now, the golf course is separate. Like I said, I didn't pursue this venue going into the golf course, but play this out for me, though. With those property owners there, what if another private company comes in, which all private companies are for profit? I know that my dental practice is. And so if they bare bones invest like the Hilton has done over the last 8 or 9 years, and the grass goes brown, and they ended up pulling out, and they can write it as a tax write-off, what's the town of Oro Valley left with? It's left with over 300 acres in smack dab in the middle of the town of Oro Valley that's going to be a blight. And so there are many benefits to that, in addition to providing some place where the teens can go to. We can start having our community events there. And so the pluses far outweigh the minuses. But the acquisition of a hotel, I agree with you. Look at Phoenix. They lost $15 million, I think is the last number I heard at the Sheraton. And I would not advocate acquiring a hotel.
All right, Mayor, we're going to have to run. Thank you, everybody that called. We can't work in some of the other calls, but we did get the most of the folks in. Thank you very much. We will be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Bill, thanks.
Like to help people in our community who are in need and save money on your taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit keeps your tax dollars in Tucson when you direct it to a qualifying charity. Individuals may donate up to $200 and married filing jointly up to $400. Receive a dollar-for-dollar credit that will reduce your Arizona state income tax. This could also be claimed on your federal taxes. Help local charities like Teen Outreach Pregnancy Services, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Tucson, and others. Go to azcharitytaxcredit.org.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway over the holidays, check out Silver City, just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's in the southwest corner of New Mexico. Pretty area, about a mile high elevation. The Gila Cliff Dwellings are over there. The Gila National Wilderness, it was really America's first wilderness. And again, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Great places to stay, like Georgetown Cabins and on and on and on. Lots of things to do. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which will celebrate its 43rd anniversary next year. And I can always remember that because the PSI began in May, I think, as I was getting married. So so it coincides with my wedding.
It coincides with your birthday.
Yeah, no, it coincides with my wedding anniversary. So that's how I remember it will be 43 years of bliss all of me. Pure bliss. The Russians announced today that they would like to build their own space station, and I guess now the Chinese want their own. So where does that leave us?
Well, we still have a $100 billion facility that's floating around up there that will supposedly be used for the next 10 years, but it's kind of reflecting of a separation, if you will. You know, the space station was originally built as a symbol of nations working together, and the Chinese have been kind of frozen out of it, and they're planning and have the resources to construct their own facility, and with the increasing isolation of Russia, now they're talking about building their own facility. So as reflecting politics on Earth, perhaps space is becoming a little more polarized.
Well, the Russians better hope that oil prices go up. Not that they need oil prices to power the space station, but they're certainly going to their ruble has lost more than any other currency on the face of the earth over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, I don't think oil prices will be down for very long.
No, I don't think so. Probably going to be touching the bottom here very soon. But getting back to China, they have a very ambitious schedule of things they would like to do, Mark Sykes.
Yeah, they're getting ready to send another rover to the moon. Mm-hmm. They're planning on doing a sample return from the moon, test some technology there. They've announced that they want to send a rover to Mars in 2020, though they have a lot of things going on. They're also talking about sending landers to near-Earth asteroids. So they have an expanding and ambitious program of solar system exploration, which they're so far been extremely successful with.
And they're probably watching very closely the Rosetta mission, because we are on a near-Earth asteroid right now. Yes.
Well, it's a comet, but
a comet.
It's a Jupiter family comet.
Yes.
A spectacular mission there. They've been one of the things they recently found was that the hydrogen isotopes on there are different than the Earth's oceans, and so the idea that maybe Earth's oceans came from comets is not correct. Maybe it came from water-rich asteroids or somehow formed with the Earth.
And there was something about organic. There was a report of organic molecules being detected. And when I hear organic, I'm probably a lot of people thinking about kind of organic.
Some people kind of dodge things a little bit, or they pump them up by using words like organic, but technically, that just means that it has a carbon molecule or carbon atom in it. So like methane is organic, or carbon dioxide is organic, or some of the other molecules that we see on comets are organic, but they have nothing to do with life. Though, of course, it may feed into the development of life, someplace. But in terms of on the comet itself, it just indicates that there exists carbon molecules in the molecules that are detecting. But the neat thing about that detection is that we normally see what the composition of the gas coming off of comets are from the coma, the big cloud surrounding it. But that stuff tends to have been broken up by ultraviolet radiation from the sun. So what we tend to see are the, quote, daughter products. When they're measuring stuff right on the surface of the comet, they're measuring what we call the parent molecule. So we can actually see where this stuff is coming from, and that gives a better idea of what the volatile, the icy component of the comet really is.
The ride on Rosetta, and riding along on the comet, is going to last for how long?
For several years, we hope. It's coming in about 3 times the Earth's distance from the sun. It's going to move past perihelion. The closest approach is going to watch the comet become more and more active, and hopefully will survive through perihelion. And it will be a spectacular show.
We had a test launch of the Orion mission. What's that about?
Well, the Orion capsule was originally designed as kind of a one-size-fits-all replacement for the shuttle. It was going to take people up to the space station. It was going to take people to missions to an asteroid and beyond the Earth's atmosphere, or beyond low Earth orbit, perhaps even onto Mars. Of course, it dovetails with a launch vehicle. The Orion is a capsule. The launch vehicle goes with it as the SLS. And so they've successfully tested the capsule unmanned a couple weeks ago. But it's not going to be crewed until 2021. So we have a ways to wait. And now, of course, in the meantime, our commercial crew capability has expanded quite a bit, so that SpaceX with the Dragon 2 and Boeing with its CTS-100 have systems that will be launched on smaller rockets to send people to the space station, seven at a time.
Really?
The Dragon 2 is kind of, I like that one because it lands, you know, straight down, kind of like the old science fiction movies.
Yeah, and that will take seven men and women
up right
to space
up
and
to the space station.
They're looking at 2017, I guess, for that. Huh?
2017, so that's coming up pretty soon.
The commercial setbacks that we had a couple of very well publicized, that crash that probably won't set back the commercial endeavors.
No. They have to figure out that was the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2. And there was some setting on its wings where it went to a wrong position at the wrong time, which caused the crash. And so, but that doesn't really affect the Dragon 2 or the Boeing capsule.
Mark Sykes, thank you very much. We wish you a great holiday season. People can find out more about Planetary Science Institute at psi.edu.
Great. Thank you very much, Bill. Thanks. It's always great being here.
Great. Thanks a lot. Mark Sykes with us. Hoping it's a great holiday season and a great new year for PSI. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on our show provided by Culligan Better Water. Pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for all your bottled water to those on the show and the station. Wake up Tucson, Chris and Joe tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, 4 Tucson at 4. Coming up with Mike Shaw, Ed Alexander, and I wish you a great afternoon and evening. Back tomorrow.